All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October the 31st, 2022. Happy Halloween. Hope everyone's having a great day. Got some plans set for tonight. Hopefully you are not trick-or-treating as an adult. Hopefully you have kids or whatever it is you got in your life. Here on the East Coast, they've been calling for rain for today. So a couple neighborhoods where my in-laws live, in fact, changed their trick-or-treat day to last night. So we got to take the kids out last night trick-or-treating and just had a lot of fun. And yeah, it was a blast. But the problem is they've now realized it's not going to rain today. So now we have another trick-or-treat. So we're going to some other friends of ours' neighborhood with the kids and doing some more trick-or-treating. So kids are winning big time here in 2022. Yeah, right on schedule, right? I'm sure in the next few years we'll start having two trick-or-treats, right? It just seems more is better. I hope not, but we'll see. But yeah, so that's been kind of what's going on. I haven't done the podcast for a bit. I'm still struggling a bit. That thing that happened a couple weeks ago was a little disturbing, and I have not quite shaken it, which is interesting because I feel like I'm doing everything that I should do to shake it. It's actually two different things. I shared a while back that somebody had called and reported something I had said, which was actually, it was all fake. I couldn't get a hold of the people, but and, you know, I shared it in that thing, and I made my amends, and, you know, then I was like, should I have even made an amends? I don't know. Someone told me they're all, you'd made a decision, then you went back on it. I'm like, well, goddamn it, you know, just because I'm sober and just because somebody doesn't like what I say doesn't always mean that I was wrong. You know, that's some old shit. That's some old behavior. Or that's some old memories. Because when I was a kid, I was always wrong. And I was always getting in trouble. And I was always saying sorry. And I felt like when that happened and I did that, I felt like, one, like I was a freaking teenager again. And for two, it made me confused a little bit because, you know, as a person that wants to be sober and wants to find serenity, I have a tendency now to immediately make amends and clean it up, you know, become accountable, make amends, clean it up and move on. And that's kind of what I did. The problem is I haven't moved on. I haven't shaken it yet. And that's been bothering me. And I feel like I'm kind of carrying it around and I'm just sort of waiting for someone to ask me about it. Right. I've made a point to not really bring it up, because I know that that's my ego wanting somebody to bring it up so that I can talk about it and arrange it in a way that makes me look or feel better about the situation. So I really haven't done that, but I'm just not past it, right? And so that's that thing. And then we had that fight at the other meeting, and that's still bugging me, you know? That's one of those things. What part did I even play? I guess I showed up. I do like to say that I always play a part because I'm there, right? Even if I came in, sat down, never opened my mouth, and a fight broke out, at least if I'm going to, like, you know, if I need to move on or it's disturbing or bothers me and I need to move on and to be accountable, at least I can say, all right, well, as far as being responsible, I showed up there. So I was at least there. Do I think me being there made that thing happen? I do not. But I was there. And so just trying to understand that, become accountable, which is just that I even showed up, right? Make my amends, which I didn't really do anything. I was just sort of sitting there with my mouth gaping open, listening to these people go nuts. But then I got up and left. And I don't know if I feel bad about leaving, you know, because it was very uncomfortable. And, you know, one thing about me today is if I'm uncomfortable with something, whether it's, you know, me being afraid, right? Or me worrying that I may pick up a drink or a drug, or me just being somewhere where I shouldn't be that may end up causing problems in my life, right? I get the fuck out of there. I get out. And I don't know if I feel guilty about that. I definitely am not going back to that meeting. I sort of feel guilty about that. People used to say, if you don't like that person, that's the person you should sit next to, right? Maybe you just got off on the wrong foot. But this person really was so disturbing that I don't even, like, I, you know, sometimes you think, well, I'll catch up with him another time where things have cooled down and, you know, maybe we can have a real conversation. I don't even trust his reactions, right? I don't even want to be, I don't have the expertise. I don't have the sobriety level. I don't have the experience, the time to fix this person. And I recognize that, right? And, but I don't know. I'm dragging it around. And I've also been very procrastinating. I've been doing a lot of procrastinating. And I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Maybe I'm depressed. Could I be depressed? I feel depressed. Have you ever felt depressed in an amazing life? Like, what is my freaking problem? But, it, you know, the procrastination, putting things off. I'm becoming a little financially insecure all of a sudden, which is weird because I work every day, make, you know, decent money. Everything's going fine. But I'm avoiding, and this is some old behavior. This is early behavior. This actually isn't early behavior. This is some behavior that I was going through a while back where, especially in my business, that I would get like a bill in the mail and I wouldn't open it. Like, I just, it had too much power. And, you know, my buddy Matt, he told me, you know, he used to say, get that bill, open that bill, pay that bill, put it back in the mail. Don't let it give anxiety. Don't let it have more power than it should. And I'm doing exactly what he said not to do, which is I'm not opening the bill. I'm going to the mailbox, I'm putting them on my desk, and then I'm just kind of leaving them there. And several times I had the water company is like, hey, we're going to shut your water off. I'm like, shit. You know, and I have the money. I mean, I absolutely have the money. I do not have to pay it with a credit card. I absolutely have the money, and it's exactly the way it is every month. But for some reason, I'm feeling this anxiety and procrastination, and it's starting to bother me. So I need to say it. I need to say it out loud. I need to tell myself, stop procrastinating. Start opening those bills. The other thing I've been doing is I'll get a bill, and it's late. And then I'll fucking pay twice as much. And then I had a lady or a bill that was sent. I don't know what company. But I had credit because I sent so much damn money in my panic that I had a credit. But I couldn't really tell the credit. And so I called them like, how come you don't show the credit? Like, I'm starting to get upset at this lady because their billing doesn't show that I have a credit well enough. It's like if I just did what I was supposed to do, if I just sat down, opened the bill, paid it, put it in the mail and moved on, I wouldn't be dealing with this. But these are all little problems that I'm making for myself, and it's really frustrating. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And, you know, it's just, I feel like it's just freaking one thing after a damn other. And all this has been going on. I've been struggling about doing this podcast, and it's just annoying. Take care of yourself.
Sometimes I couldn't hear your side or put myself in your place. My relationship skills had simply run out. And when our times were good, they were good. And when they were bad, they were bad. I tried directing the play, but the scenes were all wrong.
Yeah. Directing the play, but the scenes are all wrong. Love that guy. Love that band, Social Distortion. Well, I wanted to try to talk about some of these steps a little bit. I'm tired of talking about me. I mean, I'm sure we'll end up talking about me, but I want to talk about... because, you know, I've been going to a lot of meetings, and, you know, the God thing still pops up. I was at a meeting the other day. A lady was saying, she goes, you know, I'm not into the religious side of this program. You know, I choose not to get involved with the religious side of this program. And I felt, you know, I felt like saying, it doesn't say there's a religious side of this program, right? There is no, it doesn't say you have to be religious. It doesn't say you have to join a religion. It doesn't say any of that. And so I was a little, and this is a person that has a lot of time, and I was a little annoyed by it, but, you know, really, what is it? None of my business, right? Whatever. But I wanted to read these first three steps. It says, you know, number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And I've shared, you know, and I've into a lot of depth on this one, for me at least, because this step has really transitioned through the years. And I think it's transitioned as I've transitioned. You know, I came into this program a very, very self-centered, sick, spiritually soul-sick person, right? Possessed, really. You know, and when I talk about this stuff, you know, it's not that deep, but, you know, I look at it this way. It's like that movie, you know, The Exorcism for me. I was fucking possessed. When I was drinking and drugging, I was, you know, a devil's worker. I mean, I was deep into that self-centered hell game, and it was just bad. And so, you know, coming out of that, that transition from that person into recovery, and then once getting into recovery, starting to find humility and recognize and put the spotlight on ego, and trying to understand, oh my God, you know, I didn't realize how fucked up I was. You know, I knew I drank, I knew I had fun, but I just didn't realize how fucked up I was. So we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. As a self-centered person, you know, I've shared before that, you know, I thought that me crashing my car, you know, me hitting my uncle's well, me, you know, all this shit was unmanageable because I got in trouble for it. But really what it was is that my life had become unmanageable to everybody else. And like my uncle, my parents, my employer, I shared this all the other day, you know. But as a self-centered person, I'm like, well, I'm not thinking of anybody else. So this must be just my, you know, inconveniences. And it really wasn't, because I could have lived with that shit forever. Could have ground right into the ground with it. And but, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And that step is huge, right? It was when I started to recognize how unmanageable I was for everything else. And I hadn't thought that way. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even really think about that the first time I'd even gotten sober, you know. I've said before, agree or disagree, I don't know, but early sobriety is really a lot of self-centered shit, right? And it should be. How else are you going to get us in here? You know, give us a shiny coin, give us some time, give us some recognition, which is all great. Self loves that shit. But eventually that stuff starts wearing off. And that's why it's important for me to recognize that, you know, what really, and, you know, we admitted, that's probably the first humble thing I have done. You know, it's all surrender, right? It's all I quit. It's all I give up. We put it in different words. We admitted, you know, all the different ones. But in the end, it's all surrender, right? We admitted we were powerless. When it said we surrendered, we were powerless over alcohol. We gave up, right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That was tough for a guy who only thought of himself. Right? So, great step. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. came to believe. That means that it's a process, right? It doesn't happen overnight. And I don't know, maybe we come to the idea that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity in one night, but I don't know. I know for me, it took a long time to just start to see that start working in my life, because it comes in all different forms, sizes, and shapes, right? What the fuck is going on? Damn. It comes in all sizes and shapes, and some days I feel like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and other days I feel super grounded in the program and super grounded in sobriety and pointed in the right direction, at least, to try to get to serenity. But the third one is the one made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. This is the sticky wicket, right? This is the one, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. Actually, I don't know why. I'm going to guess, and I know for me that I feel like if I don't start acting and behaving and looking like a person that is in church, right, like a reverend or a preacher or something, that I'm just not doing it. And what I'm learning is, and this is just kind of what I've been thinking about, is that, you know, at some point, you know, where it says here, it says, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? We start, like, one of the first things that I stopped doing when I came into the program was I stopped drinking, right? And self, ego ran that department. Ego ran it. He was very good at that. And so when I made the decision to stop drinking, I surrendered, right? If there's a battle line drawn in the sand, on one side is ego and on the other side is humility, right? On one side is the devil, right? Temptation, sin. And on the other side is humility, God, surrender. If I'm doing the one, if I'm surrendering and quitting on the thing that was ruining my life, that is a relationship with God. That's a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. I'm choosing, this is for me, right? Not putting anybody into this boat. But when I decide to quit doing something that self is motivated, you know, when ego's behind it, and I choose to quit doing it, I surrender. That is, to me, humility. That's the God's way of life, right? And so that's a relationship. You know, I'm making a decision to stop doing something that is so bad. I'm giving up. I surrender, right? Now, I guess you could quit something and not surrender, right? I guess you could have ulterior motives, right? You could be scheming a different plan. But for me at the time, it was like, I need to quit this drinking. I need to quit this drugging. And it would just be a series of quitting things early on in this program, early on in my recovery, you know. No more drinking and driving. No more drinking. No more stealing the Wawa sugar packets. No more, you know, coming to work hungover. All these different things I made a decision to stop doing. That's a relationship with God. At least it is for me. I didn't ever look at it that way. But if good is God and bad is not God, and I'm doing good things, that's a relationship with the higher power, right? There is something that we have to push through to get to that decision. I know that if it wasn't for getting punched, the devil had its fucking claw, its grips on me. I couldn't quit. You know, my ego didn't want me to quit. The devil loved what I was doing, and I couldn't do it, right? And it wasn't until ego got traumatized, you know, ultimate devastation, ego devastation, that I was able to jump out that fucking burning house. And, you know, but it's like that. And so I guess the reason I bring it up is I think we have relationships with God more than we think we do, right? And this program does not call for religion. It doesn't say you have to go to church, right? It doesn't say that you have to join a youth group, right? It doesn't say any of that. It just says that you, we, me, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Can I read it? I can't see. It's so damn dark in here. Let's see. Step three is like opening of a locked door. How shall we let God into our lives? Willingness is the key. Willingness, surrender, I quit, you're right, I'm wrong, accountability, all of that is that. If you are doing something bad and one day you said, you know what, guys, I'm not doing this anymore, it's wrong, that's a relationship with God, right? If it's not a relationship with God, it's definitely a relationship telling ego, I'm done. Willingness is the key. Dependence as a means to independence. Dependence is a means to independence. Yeah. Dangers of self-sufficiency. Turning our will over to a higher power. Misuse of... Sorry, I cannot... It's so dark. Oh, my God. Of power. Misuse of power. Jesus. Sustained and personal... exertion necessary to conform to God's will. Sorry, I fucked that up. But I can't read this. Words are so small and it's so dark in here. But the point is, and I can read it, it says, God into our lives, willingness is the key. It doesn't say that we have to join a church. It doesn't say that we have to do anything other than have willingness. Willingness, surrender, I quit, right? Have you ever been in an argument? This, I don't, you know, this is a whole nother subject, but, you know, my father, who is 85, I guess now, you know, my mother passed and, you know, we don't take care of my dad. My dad takes care of himself, but he comes over three nights a week for dinner. He's very independent for an 85-year-old guy, but I know that it makes him happy to know that I'm in his life, me and my brother and my wife and the kids and all that brings him some peace, right? You know, ego would be like, I don't need anybody, right? Ego would be like, I don't need you. And it's tough too, because, you know, my dad doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I need you. I'm the one that calls him. We have him come over. But I tell you what, man, he's like, he comes over and he argues with everything I say. You know, we don't argue, but we don't argue because I bite my tongue, right? I'm like, I surrender. I'm like, you know, and my wife's like, don't get into it. And I don't, you know, because it's not doing my dad any good. I'm not changing my dad. My dad is who my dad is. But, you know, it's tough. And he comes over and he's like, I talked to him last night. He's going to, you know, we have an advertising company that it's just, you know, t-shirts and stuff. And I want him to make me a t-shirt. And every, you know, he's like, I don't know, a tattoo artist do a podcast. We do the Robo Social podcast. And these guys from a Tough Luck Tattoo, Chris and Matt, great guys. But Matt drew me this thing for I want to do a shirt. And he drew this skeleton, right, holding the coffee cup. And it says, we suffer and we share. And it says it in Latin. So it's kind of this cool Latin banner and stuff. My dad like looks like shit. I'm like, nobody asked you, right? Why do you see, these are the things, you know, restrain from pen and tongue, right? This is like, is that something that Jesus would say? And I'm not religious. Okay. Let's not get it. But I just say it as an example. Is this something Jesus would say to somebody, or should I think before I open my fucking mouth and refrain from saying that, which is what I do. But my dad, different generation, he's like, looks like shit, but whatever, you like it. You know, it's always that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay. So last night, you know, him and I got into it a little bit. I'm just, you know, I get sick of just being this humble, take the high road, serenity, wave the white flag shit. I mean, sometimes it gets a little old, and kind of had it last night, but you know, we worked it out, but it's, you know, it's always kind of coming up in my life. And It's tough. It is tough. And, but, you know, I have to surrender. You know, what's more important for me today? That my dad is happy and safe and feels good and at peace. And what's not important is that he likes that shirt that I'm having designed, right? It's not like, is it, you know, 20 years ago, I'd be like, fuck you, dad. You always got some fucking shit to say. You're just always that way, dad, blah, blah. And I'm over it, right? I'm not doing it. I bite my tongue. Last night, I slipped a little because it was annoying. You know, I'm trying to explain to him, and he's like, I don't understand the shit you lack. And he's just like, it's this passive aggressive attack after attack after attack. I'm like, what the fuck's your problem, man? But, you know, today I feel like I can identify and I can recognize and I can, you know, have restraint. I can have humility. I can wave that white flag and say, this isn't important. You know, when I just barely can't remember, my wife will remind me, it's not important. I say, okay. And we get through it. But man, you know, it's almost like I had a little sip, like a little slip last night. Didn't involve alcohol, but it did involve something that I feel is keeping me from reaching that point of serenity. And, you know, and I felt okay, actually, because I was like, you know, you stood up for yourself. I'm tired of taking that shit from him. But at the same time, it doesn't do him any good. He's not changing. He is who he is. And, oh, shit. Clean this whole studio and now I'm knocking shit over. He is who he is and he will not be changing for anybody. All right, let's see. This is one of those podcasts I just had to get done. I've shared before. Some days I just got to push one through, push it out, clear the path, and hopefully we'll free up some thinking. But really, I've been struggling here. Let's see. Let's check out the daily reflections and I'll get out of here. Daily reflections, except. Okay, here we go. It's sort of what we're going through. Avoiding controversy, October 31st. All history affords us to speculate. No, shit. All right, here we go. October 31st. All history affords us the spectacle of striving situation. Third try. Avoiding controversy, October 31st. All history affords us the spectacle of striving nations and groups finally torn asunder because they were designed for or tempted into controversy. Others fell apart because of sheer self-righteousness while trying to enforce upon the rest of the mankind some millennium of their speculation. Don't know what that just said, but there it is. 12 Step, 12 Traditions, page 176. As an AA member and sponsor, I know I can cause real damage. If I yield to temptation and give opinions and advice on another's medical, marital, or religious problems, I am not a doctor, counselor, or a lawyer. I cannot tell anyone how he or she should live. However, I can share how I came through similar situations without drinking and how AA steps and traditions helped me dealing with my life. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just trying to tell you that 14 years in this program, I'm fucking crazy, man. And I don't know if I want to drink, but, you know, sometimes I want to let that devil back in and run rampant. And I see it today, and I really don't want to do that. I'm super grateful to be where I'm at today. And, oh, man, you know, I wake up every morning just relaxed, right? There's nothing that could come my way that should hopefully deter me from the path that I'm on, which is hopefully, you know, being sober and serene for the rest of my life. But like my buddy Jimmy says, you get one day, right? One day. Then you got to try to start it all over the next day. And that's, I think that's good to remember because, you know, sometimes I think, hey, man, you're sober and you're good. And it's not like we renew it every year. It's a one day, renew it every day and sometimes every minute. And that's good. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share. And we'll try to get back into some more routines with this podcast. But hey, man, go to meetings, you know, or I'm going to go to a meeting. I got a meeting to go to tonight, you know, get involved with your group. Just hang in there. Don't worry about some of the complicated stuff. But just, I think for me, I have to remind myself, I think I have more of a relationship with higher power or God than I realize. And that's good to know. Later.